another trap door in the middle of the grassy meadow floor. People he didn't recognize, some wearing uniforms from Ellen's army, were climbing out. Ham rushed over, wearing his usual vest and trousers, and grabbed Spook in an embrace.
"What are you doing here?" Ham asked, letting go.
"I don't know," Spook said. "Last I knew, I was in Urto." Ham looked up at the sky.
"I was in Fadrix. What happened?"
Spook shook his head.
"I don't know if the places we used to know have meaning anymore, Ham."
Ham nodded, turning as one of the soldiers pointed. Another batch of people was emerging from a hole a short distance away. Spook and Ham walked forward, at least until Ham saw someone in the other batch of people. Spook vaguely recognized her as Ham's wife, who had been back in Luthadel. The thug let out a cry of excitement, then rushed forward to greet his family. Spook made his way from hole to hole. There appeared to be six of them, some well-populated, others not so much. One stood out. It wasn't a trap door, like the others, but a slanted cave entrance. Here he found General Demu speaking with a small group of people, a pretty terrace woman holding his arm.
"I was in and out of consciousness for it," Demu was saying, "but I saw him, the survivor. It had to be him, hanging in the sky, glowing. Waves of color moved through the air, and the ground trembled, the land spinning and moving. He came, just like Sazed said he would."
"Sazed," Spook spoke up, Demu noticing him for the first time. "Where is he?" Demu shook his head.
"I don't know, Lord Spook."
Then he paused.
"Where did you come from, anyway?"
Spook ignored the question. The openings and holes formed a pattern. Spook walked through the thick grass, leading Beldra, making his way to the very center of the pattern. The wind blew softly, bending the stalks of grass in wave-like undulations. Ham and Breeze rushed to catch up to him, already arguing about something trivial, Ham with a child in one arm, his other around his wife's shoulders. Spook froze as he caught sight of a bit of color in the grass. He held up a hand, warning the others, and they stepped forward more quietly. There, in the center of the grass, was a field of somethings. Colorful somethings, growing from the ground, with tops like bright-colored leaves. They were shaped like upside-down bells, with long, straight stalks, the petals at the top open toward the sun, as if reaching for its light and gaping to drink it in.
"Beautiful," Beldra whispered.
Spook stepped forward, moving among the plants.
"Flowers," he thought, recognizing them from the picture Vin had carried. "Kelsier's dream finally came true."
At the center of the flowers, he found two people. Vin lay wearing her customary mist cloak, shirt, and trousers. Elland was in a brilliant white uniform, complete with cape. They were holding hands as they lay amid the flowers. And they were both dead. Spook knelt beside them, listening to Ham and Breeze cry out. They examined the bodies, checking for vital signs. But Spook focused on something else, almost hidden in the grass. He picked it up, a large leather tome. He opened it, reading the first page. "I am unfortunately the hero of ages," read the delicate, careful letters. Spook thought he recognized the handwriting. As he flipped through the book, a slip of paper fell free. Spook picked it up. One side had a faded drawing of a flower, the very picture he'd been thinking about moments before. On the other side was a note scrawled in the same handwriting as the book.
"Spook," it read. "I tried to bring them back, but apparently fixing the bodies doesn't return the souls. I will get better at this with time, I expect. However, be assured that I have spoken with our friends, and they are quite happy where they are. They deserve a rest, I think. The book contains a short record of the events that led up to the world dying and being reborn. along with some musings I have made about the history, philosophy, and science of recent occurrences. If you look to your right, you will find a much larger group of books in the grass. These contain all of the knowledge, repeated verbatim, that was contained in my metal mines. Let the knowledge of the past not be forgotten. Rebuilding will be difficult, I think, but likely far easier than living beneath the Lord Ruler or surviving Ruin's attempt to destroy the world. I think you'll be surprised at the number of people who fled to the storage caverns. Rashik planned very well for this day. He suffered much beneath Ruin's hand, but he was a good man, who ultimately had honorable intentions. You did well. Know that the message you sent via Captain Goradel saved us all in the end. The people will need leadership in the years to come. Likely they will look to you. I'm sorry that I cannot be there in person to help you, but know that I am about. I have made you mistborn and healed the damage you did to your body by flaring tin so much. I hope you don't mind. It was Kelsier's request, actually. Consider it a parting gift from him. Watch over them for me. P.S. There are still two metals that nobody knows about. You might want to poke about and see if you can figure out what they are. I think they'll interest you. Spook looked up, staring at the strangely empty blue sky. Beldra came over and knelt beside him, looking over his paper, then giving him a quizzical look.
You look troubled, she said.
Spook shook his head.
No,
he said, folding up the little slip of paper and putting it in his pocket.
No, I'm not troubled. In fact, I actually think everything is going to be all right. Finally.
You have been listening to an Orion Publishing audiobook. To find out more about Orion's audiobooks, please go to the website at orionbooks.co.uk.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.